Okay, when we come back in just a little bit, we're going to be talking with Dan Lucas, the editor of OregonCatalyst.com, and he wrote a story earlier this week about Oregon's supreme pigs at the trough, and I want him to tell you what that means, pigs at the trough, but the word supreme is a key part of that, and we'll do that in just a little bit.
Here's more of the Bill Post Radio Show.
Little brother is there for Aloha Friday, and I want to talk to our old friend Dan Lucas. He is the editor of OregonCatalyst.com, one of the best sites in Oregon for Oregon news and politics. All right, here's the thing. You wrote a story the other day on Oregon Catalyst, and I gave the title a little while ago, Oregon's Supreme Pigs at the Trough. Now, when I read that title, I went, okay, what could this possibly be about? Tell us, basically, what are you referring to there?
That's the Supreme Court, Oregon Supreme Court, ruling on PERS reform, and they themselves were members of PERS and should have recused themselves back in 1996, and they didn't, and they're all making out very well by their decision. And when I, you know, Larry Huss, who is a regular contributor to Oregon Catalyst, he's been following kind of a really good crusade by Bend area attorney Dan Ray, and he's been trying to bring back some PERS reform. And one of the things he's focusing on is how wrong that case was in 1996, that those judges should have recused themselves and didn't. And so he's pursuing that, and I realized as I read Larry Huss's piece this week that the recent decision to make PERS retiree information public would let us see just how well off these judges are.
Yeah, and okay.
Every single one of them. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was going to say, I want to set this up for just a little bit more. Okay, so I want people to understand. These are Oregon Supreme Court judges that in 1996 did not recuse themselves from the 1996 PERS reform case. Now they're retired, and now that we know this public information is out about how much these people get, you dug into it. So am I correct now?
That's correct.
And tell us what it is.
Yeah, they're making out quite well. The one who's making the least is getting by, and this is just their PERS income. I don't know what other income, retirement income they have, but their PERS income, one of them is somehow managing to eke by on $103,000 a year. And it goes all the way on up to $137,000 a year for their retirement.
Excuse me, and I know everybody was talking about Mike Bellotti. And, yeah, that was an insane amount of money. I understand that. We're talking about judges who were in on trying to reform this.
Exactly. And they made a decision that directly affected how much they got. I mean, can you imagine your boss comes in and says, Bill, I want you to come in here and vote on how much you should be making?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I'm
laughing. Sky's the limit, boss.
Yeah. $1 million. Is that enough? I mean, you're right. This is why I'm laughing, because this is unbelievable. I'm still, Dan, I'm still getting, maybe you are too, but I'm still getting emails from people, and they're generally state workers. And again, I'm not against state workers, but they're emailing me and saying, I don't like it that they're giving out that information on how much, Uncle Bob makes in PERS. Sorry, but you work for us.
Right. And this right here, unfortunately, shows why it is important. Because I had mixed feelings about whether or not, people's retirement income should be made public, and I understand some of their complaints. But this kind of thing shows why it's really important. These judges were allowed to make decisions that directly affected their own personal finances over considering the voters of Oregon. That's not fair. That's not right.
And you find out from this that the people who are making the decisions and have, say, the control of PERS are PERS members or recipients.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
You and me. Yeah.
No, and that's one brilliant thing that Daniel Ray, the attorney over from Bend, he pointed out. He said, so in 1994, Oregon voters passed some PERS reform, ballot measure 8. and then it was challenged by state employees and made its way to the Supreme Court. So at the time it got to the Supreme Court, here's the scenario, and this is from one of Daniel Ray's articles. Now, at that point, by the time it gets to the Supreme Court, everybody who has a say in the decision is on PERS.
Wow.
So the people asking the court to reverse the PERS reforms are PERS members.
Right.
The persons so-called defending ballot measure 8, the PERS reform, on the behalf of the people of Oregon, are PERS members. So the people defending us, Bill, were on PERS. And that included, you may know this guy, Ted Kulongowski.
Oh.
He was the attorney general.
Yeah.
And so Ted was defending us and somehow lost. Yeah, right. And
what
so,
is this, the French?
A couple weeks after this ruling where they threw out the PERS reform, one of the Supreme Court justices stepped down. And guess who he was replaced by?
I don't know.
Ted Kulongowski. That's a very sweet deal, just not for the voters and taxpayers of Oregon.
No.
And then finally, the final person with a say in this at the time were the judges who were on PERS. I mean, what a rigged setup.
We could do some courtroom scenarios here, you know, because I'm a law and order freak. I mean, so let's see if we can make some sort of a scenario here that would be similar in court. So, you're guilty of murder, Dan Lucas, okay? Your defense attorney is what? One of the cops. And the judge is the police chief. And the prosecuting attorney is the lieutenant of the police.
Right.
You're hosed.
Yeah. Big time.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, Bill, it's like you're coming home from a rare win by the Ducks, you know, down there in Eugene.
What do you mean, rare win?
You come through Corvallis, and you get a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
And the cop's wearing a beaver's hat.
Yeah.
And you go to the court, and the judge is wearing a beaver's hat, and the jury's all wearing beaver hats.
Yeah.
Did you get a fair trial?
Probably not. I'm sure the Beaver fans would say, yeah, absolutely. But no, exactly. This is insane.
Yeah, and,
wow.
And you know, God bless this Dan Ray. He's just an attorney over there, and he got interested in this, and he's been pursuing it. And he's really, if you there's links off of my article to some of his work, and he's really taking a sound approach to this. And he recognizes so far, you know, the every Oregon court who are all on PERS, because what he's trying to do is get this case reheard by people who are not on PERS.
Which,
and of course they won't let him do that, but So his plan then is to take it all the way to the Supreme Court.
All right, Hank, Dan, can you stay?
We're not on PERS.
Okay, can you stay right there for just a minute?
Sure.
I've got to get a break in here. Let me get a break in. I want to come back and talk a little more about what you just mentioned. I want to make sure people understand what this Daniel Ray is doing, and then I want to talk to him at some point. Dan Lucas from OregonCatalyst.com. You can see this story right now at OregonCatalyst.com. Just look for the title, Oregon's Supreme Pigs at the Trough. We'll talk some more with Dan here in just a moment.
Now back to the Bill Post Radio Show.
All right, so we have Dan Lucas from Oregon Catalyst. Okay, so tell us a little bit, this Daniel Ray, and it's spelled R-E, Daniel Ray, and how did he just, is this just something he just decided to do?
About the inability to get PERS reform passed got him interested, and he started doing his own research, and he does a brilliant job. And, he's an attorney, and he's just been dogging it, and I think largely alone, but making great progress. And he's got one thing on here, Bill, that I was really impressed with on one of his articles. The article is titled "My Problem with PERS," and he does a really great, concise job of laying out how everyone in Oregon government has systematically been bought off or forced onto, or by being brought onto PERS or being forced onto PERS. He just lays it out really, really well. He talks about how PERS was originally created in 1945, and it was supposed to be, you know, all Oregonians were required to contribute to paying for it, but legislators and judges were not allowed to be on PERS.
Which makes sense.
So that there wouldn't be that inherent conflict of interest.
Yeah, yeah.
But then over the years, they moved the legislature onto PERS, and then once enough of them were on PERS, then they forced judges onto PERS.
Hmm.
And now judges are the only elected officials in Oregon who are required to join PERS.
Wow.
I mean, so this thing's such a rigged deal.
So how will he ever find any way to run this through any sort of a court that's not PERS? Who's not PERS then?
Well, that's why he has to take it all the way up to the federal level.
Oh, so when you said Supreme Court, you were talking
federal judges on Oregon PERS yet?
Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Probably working on that.
Yeah, no, I thought when you said Supreme Court, I was assuming you meant Oregon.
Oh, sorry, yeah,
you're talking
U.S. Supreme Court, right? No, he recognizes,
okay,
Bill, exactly what you said. He's not going to be able to get a fair hearing in Oregon because they're all on PERS.
Wow. So,
and it affects their pocketbook. You know, it's such a conflict of interest for them to make a ruling on this.
Unbelievable. These dollar amounts, as you said, very tongue-in-cheek, you know, they're barely getting by. One of them at $103,000-some-odd dollars, and the top one, $137,000 annually.
Yeah, they probably just barely qualify for food stamps, Bill, with those things.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's, wow. This is a real stunner. All right, so as you said, you have links to the PERS ruling in 1996, Measure 8,
yep,
the recent decision to make the information public, and a whole bunch of other, all on this article, again, at OregonCatalyst.com.
Yes.
All right. Once again, a great job of journalism, Dan. I know this is not what you grew up to be, I don't think.
It is not.
It's
not.
But you're doing a great job of it.
Right, but my postseason, for some reason, I have a lot of free time, so this is what I do.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, because all the teams I support don't make it very far.
Welcome to my world.
Gives me more free time, Bill. I wish I didn't have that.
Although I do have one that does, yeah, okay. We won't go there. All right, Dan Lucas, thank you again. Say hello to Rachel and Marion, and I still can't get used to calling that other one by another name.
I know it.
It's weird.
Harky, Teresa Harky. Yep.
Is it Harky? Oh,
good,
I can call her Harks.
Yep.
So I'm even butchering her new name.
He's a good guy.
I know. Yeah, I like him, but I didn't know it was Harky. Sorry. Tell her sorry. All right.
She'll be okay with that.
I'm sure she will. You know, she's still short.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good weekend.
All right, Dan, take care. Yeah, Dan Lucas doing a great job. The Lucas family is always very, very active. Teresa's still involved with, let's see, it's not Oregon Right to Life. It is the Oregon Family Council. And those little Voer pamphlets that come out later on, those are helpful. And her sister Marion is a teacher right here in Salem. And Rachel does a lot of work with the Washington County Republicans. So, excuse me. Good stuff. Good folks. Good family. All right, so go to OregonCatalyst.com to read more on that story.